Moses came to a place in his life that he had a decision to make. He had the best of what no doubt the world could afford at that time. He was the son of Pharaoh's daughter, and all of the luxury that would have afforded and the way of life that would have given to him. But he made a choice, and his choice was that he would rather something, that he'd rather suffer affliction with the people of God. What kind of choice is that? But whenever you see the glory that goes with it, I'd rather have Jesus as well than anything that this world affords or can give. And that's I trust and pray this morning all of our decision and desire. I'd like to begin this morning in 1 Chronicles, the 11th chapter, and would ask for your prayers. I need the Lord to bless His Word and to give utterance of it. Been thinking some this week about David's mighty men. Like to read a little bit of this. We won't maybe read the whole chapter, but I'd like to consider some of this passage. David, who God made king, that the Lord blessed, the Lord gave him success, that David was a man after God's own heart, and the Lord gave him peace and his kingdom, and blessed and prospered it, as he will all of us in our lives as we give ourselves to the Lord. David, though, as he went out into battle, you remember one time the Lord chastened David because David went out and he numbered Israel. He went out and he performed a census, went and counted the number of the people and how many it was. And the Lord was displeased with that because it's not in David's numbers. It was not in David's ability. It wasn't in how many people that David had or how mighty they were, or you stack them up, you number them all, and that's the deciding factor of whether you have victory or not. That's never been for God's people, the deciding factor, whether you win a battle or not. It's never been about whether you're more in number than the others, because as Jonathan said in one place, it's nothing with the Lord, whether by few or by many to give this deliverance. The Lord doesn't really need our ability. He doesn't really need what we have to offer in ourselves, but what He wants to do is to be able to show Himself strong. So the Lord, as David went and He numbered Israel, He made very clear to him, He judged David because of that. Because David trusted in his own self, in their own numbers, and He accounted that. But I'd like to look here at some of what the Lord was able to do with the men that were with him. Beginning in the 9th verse, says, "So David waxed greater and greater," and it gives the reason, "for the Lord of hosts was with him. These also are the chief of the mighty men whom David had, who strengthened themselves with him in his kingdom and with all Israel, to make him king according to the word of the Lord concerning Israel. And this is the number of the mighty men which David had: Jashabiam, an Hachmonite of the chief of the captains. He lifted up his spear against 300 slain by him at one time. After him was Eleazar, the son of Dodo, an Ahohite, who was one of the three mighties. He was with David at Pasdemim, and there the Philistines were gathered together to battle, where was a parcel of ground full of barley, and the people fled from before the Philistines. And they set themselves in the midst of that parcel and delivered it and slew the Philistines, and the Lord saved them by a great deliverance." Now, as we read through some of these examples of some of these men, it tells about the things that perhaps they were just a few of the instances, but there were some of the things that they were known for, that they did, that as you read it, it was something that it's really not of just of human strength or human ability. It says here that the Lord saved them by a great deliverance. At one time, whenever all the rest of the people fled before the Philistines, they were afraid, they were running, there was a small group of men who had something within themselves that they said, we're not going to turn and run. We're not going to flee before the enemy. We're going to stand our ground here. And in one place here it says that they believe it was that they fought until their hand clave to the sword. They fought so long, they were determined to stick with it. My desire and burden this morning is that we be mighty men and women for the Lord. The Lord is looking for a people today who would be able to show some of these same traits and characteristics that David's mighty men did, that David's mighty men had in the things that made them known. Whenever other people might would turn and flee, would turn and run, may we be those who are strong of faith, who would say, I'm not going to run from before the enemy, but I'm going to stand right here on the ground that the Lord has given, willing to fight. Regardless of what the number of the enemy, regardless of how overwhelming it seems the forces of evil, that I am determined to stand for the Lord and to stand for truth. All these which were chosen to be porters in the gates were 212. He reckoned them by their genealogy and tells some of the oversight that they had. It tells of those who went before whenever David was out of the city and the Philistines had it in a hold in the city. It was in lockdown and David and his men were basically locked out of the city. That David, as he was there, he began to long and say, oh, for a drink of water out of the well back home. If only I could have a drink of water. And it says that the mighty men broke through the host of the Philistines. And they went through with determination, with a zeal and a desire and determination. And they broke through the host of the enemy to go draw water for David. And they brought it back. Those were some men that they weren't afraid. They weren't fearful. They weren't ones to turn and run from the battle. But they had a belief in God and they had a love for the one that led them. Let's look here at the it says in the 14th verse, they set themselves in the midst of that parcel. They determined to set themselves. Do you know if we're going to be mighty before the Lord, we're going to have to set ourselves. We're going to have to make some decisions and determinations that I'm going all the way with you, Lord. I'm not going to turn back. I'm afraid that there are too many times that people set conditions for the Lord. If it gets to this point, if it gets too bad, if it gets too painful, I can only go so far. But the Lord is looking for those who will be willing to set themselves and not move from it. 20th verse says, and Abishai, the brother of Joab, he was the chief of the three. For lifting up his spear against 300, he slew them and had a name among the three. Of the three, he was more honorable than the two, for he was their captain. Howbeit, he attained not to the first three. Benaniah, the son of Jehoiada, the son of a valiant man of Kabzeel, who had done many acts. He slew two lion-like men of Moab. Also, he went down and slew a lion in a pit on a snowy day. It sounds like some interesting detail and things that it's almost mentioned as if, oh, by the way, here's some things that these men did. He went down and he slew a man that slew with a spear 300 men. Now, how do you do something like that? How do you take a spear? We're not talking a weapon of mass destruction, but a spear has one point on it. One man at a time. How do you do that? What happens to the other 299 men whenever the first man is speared? But there was something about this man that was mighty in battle, and the Lord was with him. Of a man that went down and slew a lion in a pit in a snowy day. Snowy day isn't a day that you'd necessarily want to go out and fight a lion. I wouldn't care to fight a lion on any day. But to go down, it was a man that regardless, can I say regardless of the weather? That I'm not just going to be a fair weather Christian. I'm not just going to be, if everything goes all right, just goes my way and the conditions are just right. The book of Ecclesiastes said, he that observes the wind will not sow. And he that looks to the clouds, you're not going to reap. You're never going to have that perfect conditions and perfect time to be able to serve the Lord. Lord, if only you'll cause things to be just so, then I'll be able to have victory. Lord, I'll be able to love my enemies as long as they're just so. As my neighbors, I'll be able to get along with them as long as they don't put any garbage on my side of the line. As long as they treat me just right, I'll be able to love them. I'll be able, my coworkers and all, if things are just so. But the Lord's not looking. If we're going to be mighty men and women for the Lord, he wants somebody that's not just going to observe circumstances, that are not going to say, there's a lion without, there's a lion in the streets. Excuses. Oh, how easy they are to come by. Well, I just don't feel like it. Things just aren't so. Spoke a little bit with them last weekend in Alabama about seasons of life. And how there are, life has its ups and it has its downs. It has its emotional highs and its emotional lows. It's seasons that we go through of ups and downs and all of that. But the Lord is looking for a people. If we're going to aspire to be mighty men and women for the Lord, he's looking for some that are willing to plow ahead regardless. Whether I'm feeling low or I'm feeling high, that I'm determined. There's something that's fixed and steadfast that's not fixed on the weather and what the weather does or on what conditions are or what the foe that I'm facing looks like or how intimidating the enemy seems. I'm determined. I've set myself. Want to be a mighty man. Says he slew an Egyptian, a man of great stature, 5 cubits high. And in the Egyptian's hand was a spear like a weaver's beam. And he went down to him with a staff and plucked the spear out of the Egyptian's hand and slew him with his own spear. These things did Benaniah, the son of Jehoiada. And he had the name among the three mighties. They had a name, a reputation. You know, a reputation is earned. A good name is rather to be chosen than great riches and loving favor rather than silver and gold. It's earned by our actions, by our decisions, by the choices that we make in our lives. Think about where Paul told Timothy to shew himself a pattern of good works. A pattern is not something that's just one point. It's not something that's just one day, but a pattern is something of consistency. It's something that from day after day after day, I show a pattern of good works. I show a consistency about my life. I show a consistent pattern of those things before the Lord. The Lord, if we'll give ourselves wholly to him, can enable us to be mighty men and women as well. Let's look at 1 Corinthians, the 10th chapter. First Corinthians, chapter 10, and the 4th verse. I'm sorry, I think I got the wrong one. 2 Corinthians, 10 and verse 3. Says, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. The weapons of our warfare. We're talking about a mighty men, about mighty people who are mighty in warfare, who are able to put to flight, as I think of the 11th chapter of Hebrews, of the heroes of faith, that they were those who quenched the violence of fire, who turned to flight the armies of the aliens. How did they do it? They didn't do it by being timid, by being weak, by being fearful, by being unbelieving. They did it by having a strong faith in God. They did it by depending and relying upon Him. And you know, it's no different today in what will make us mighty for the Lord. I'm interested this morning in us being successful for the Lord, in being successful in our walk with the Lord. But it's going to require something. It's going to require us putting our hearts and our effort into it. The Lord wants us to be successful in this warfare. The Lord is looking for us to be victorious. He's not called us unto a salvation of defeat, but He's called us unto a salvation of victory. That doesn't mean whenever we get saved that the enemy just gives up on us. The enemy's not going to come back around. Oh, sure He will. With a vengeance, with a fury. But greater is He that is in you than he that's in the world. The scripture here says that we have some weapons. We have a warfare. We have an enemy that we're engaged with in battle. The Lord has given us some weapons to be able to fight the enemy. And He wants us to know how to use them. He wants us to know how to put to use the weapons and the armor that He's given us for the success of our battle. You don't go out into a battle without weapons. You don't go out into a battle unprepared. But the Lord has prepared us. The stories that we read of David's mighty men, they were a people who were skilled in what they did. They had a skill in being able to fight. Let's look at Judges chapter 20. Judges the 20th chapter, and beginning in the 15th verse. And the children of Benjamin were numbered at that time out of the cities, 26,000 men that drew sword, beside the inhabitants of Gibeah, which were numbered 700 chosen men. Among all this people there were 700 chosen men, left-handed, every one that could sling stones at an hair breadth and not miss. You know, you think about a sling and it doesn't seem like very much. Don't think I'd feel real fearful if I saw somebody before me and they had a little sling and a stone, but what was it that took down Goliath? It was a God-guided rock out of a sling that found its mark. That was sent by a little boy who had faith and courage in God. That sling, whenever they used it, and you can read of people in antiquity, in old times, that would use a sling who gave themselves to it to perfect it, to perfect the use of that sling. If I were to take a sling today and a rock and throw it, I really wouldn't know what direction it would go. I could probably give you a field of about 120 degrees, and I'd say somewhere in this direction that rock's going to fly. But I really don't know. It's hard for me to imagine being able to use that as a precise weapon. But it says here that's exactly what these men did. These were chosen men. If you're going into a battle, would you want these men with you? I'm going to want somebody that can pick up a stone that's there on the ground and at a hairbreadth. That's a marksman. That's somebody that has some skill and some ability to be able to hit the mark. To be able to accomplish what they want to accomplish. We don't want to be as those that Paul said that beateth the air. Not as one that just flails around and I go through the motions, but I'm not really able to accomplish or hit the mark of what the Lord wants me to hit. The Lord wants us to be mighty men and women. He wants us to be able to hit the mark. It required skill to be able to do that. There were a people known as the Belerians, I believe they were, in old times that used the sling as their weapon of choice. And they would begin to teach their children from the time they were very, very young how to use a sling. And they would fasten the child's food to the top of a pole and say, if you want to eat, you're going to strike that food down with a rock out of your sling. And it provided some incentive, as you can imagine, to that child. I'm going to practice. I'm getting hungry. Maybe I get frustrated. I get discouraged sometimes. I don't know if I'm making any progress. I don't know if I'm getting anywhere. I try and it seems like I miss, but I got to get it. I got to be able to strike that food. So I'm going to continue giving myself to it. I'm not going to give up because it is the means of my being able to eat. And so they would learn from a young child. They would develop that skill. What I want us to realize is that the Lord gives ability. The Lord gives natural aptitude to some people. There are some people that are more inclined to be able to speak. There are some people that are more inclined to be able to work with their hands and others that just can't do anything with their hands. The Lord gives different aptitudes. The Lord gives different gifts and He wants to be able to harness and use that to His glory for every one of us. But I want us to realize the things the Lord has given in our hands, we are not to just assume that I can use it without skill. The Lord wants us, in order to be mighty men and women, that I'm going to have to apply myself. I'm going to have to give myself to this. I'm going to have to, Paul told Timothy, study to show yourself approved. And that word study, it's referring to more than just opening the scriptures and reading and studying. But it has the meaning of diligence. Give diligence to. Give yourself diligently to this thing. That you want to be skillful. I want to be able to accomplish what the Lord desires. So these mighty men here in Judges, it says, could strike in an hairbreadth. I want to ask us this morning, how are we with the weapons the Lord's given us? Do we know what to do with them? Are we using them? You remember whenever David went up against Goliath, Saul offered him his armor. And he said, no, I've not tried it. I've not proved this. Let me use what I'm accustomed to. Let me use what I have proven in my battles, in my test. But the time came that he did take on the armor. The time came that he did take up the sword. But David used at that time what the Lord had given him. And the Lord wants us to be able to use skillfully the things that He's given us. And I want us to understand to do something skillfully isn't about my ability, but it's about me giving myself to this. Whenever we think about the weapons and we think about this warfare, and I say, Lord, I want to be mighty in warfare. What's it going to require? It's not going to be about my ability and about my skill, but I want to give myself to the weapons that the Lord has given. David said, Lord, teach my hands to war. Lord, help me to learn. Help me to know how to make war against the enemy. Help me to know how to gain the victory. The enemy is encroaching on so many fronts. Lord, help me to know how to use the shield of faith. The Lord's given it to us. Isn't it for us to use? Lord, teach me how. Thinking in Hebrews 5 of a scripture, I'd like to turn and get Hebrews the 5th chapter. It says, for when the time ye ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. For every one that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, Even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. There is a time and a place for using the stone and the sling. There's a time and a place for milk. We're to use that. But there's a place that the Lord wants us to get to. It says a babe is unskillful. Those children who first started out trying to strike their food down, they were unskillful. They couldn't accomplish it very well. But there is a process of growth. There is a process that the Lord wants to teach us and instruct us in the ways of righteousness. To instruct us to be skillful in what we're doing. Folks, the Lord wants us to be skillful in battle. He wants us to be skillful in prayer. It's not about having flowery words and being able to be eloquent in what I do and polished in everything I do. It's about being able to make contact with God. About being able to harness these weapons that are not carnal. And Paul spoke about it whenever he said, I come to you not with excellency of speech, not with man's wisdom. That's not what I'm coming to you with. There were even some who looked at Paul and said his speech is contemptible. But yet there was something about Paul that was powerful. There was something about Paul whenever he got into a situation that he had wisdom. And he had power and anointing that was with him. The Lord wants us as well to be able to be skillful in war, in battle against the Lord, against the enemy through the Lord. Weapons of our warfare are mighty through God. We can still be mighty in our battles to gain victories, to take cities that the enemy would try to entrench himself in. Let's look a little bit at what some of this weaponry is. Daniel, the book of Daniel, read in the first chapter. If Daniel and the Hebrew children, whenever they were taken into captivity, if you'll remember, they were given the king's meat and his diet and portion to make them fit to stand before the king. But they said, we can't do that. That violates what the Lord had given them, the laws the Lord had given. They said, we're not willing to transgress against that. And so, as you know, they gave him pulse and water as they had requested, and the Lord's favor and blessing was upon them. So that they prospered above all of their fellows, all of those that were eating of the king's meat. They stood and prospered. They were flourishing. And it also says that they were skillful in all wisdom. You know, that's one of the weapons that the Lord gives us. Wisdom. The Lord wants us to be able, as we read here in Hebrews, it's going to require something. It's going to require us giving ourselves to it. It says, by reason of use, they have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. It's going to require giving ourselves to it. It's going to require some effort, some diligent application. Maybe it seems like I kind of fumble my way through it at first, and it seems like I can look at others and compare myself and say, I'm not doing it very well. There are others that can do things so much better than I can. Careful about comparing yourselves among yourselves. Lord, help me to be skillful in what I do. Help me, Lord, not to just be as one that's flailing about. Not to just be one that's going through the motions. But there's much to be done. There are victories to be won. And Lord, help me to be able to take it. So Daniel and the Hebrew children, as said, were skillful in all wisdom. Let's turn in connection with that to Proverbs, the 21st chapter. Proverbs 21 and the 22nd verse says, a wise man scaleth the city of the mighty and casteth down the strength of the confidence thereof. Ecclesiastes. 10th chapter. Ecclesiastes 10:10 says, if the iron be blunt and he do not whet the edge, then must he put to more strength. But wisdom is profitable to direct. It's not about just blundering through life in our own wisdom. in our own strength, in our own ability, it's not enough. It'll fail us every time. But the Lord wants to give us wisdom to direct. And the scripture we read there in Proverbs said, a wise man scaleth the city of the mighty. By wisdom that the Lord gives, I think also of a, believe it's in the 9th chapter of Ecclesiastes, of a, says a poor man, there was found in this city, well, let's just read it, Ecclesiastes 9 and 14, there was a little city and few men within it. There came a great king against it and besieged it and built great bulwarks against it. Now there was found in it a poor wise man, and he by his wisdom delivered the city. Yet no man remembered that same poor man. Then said I, wisdom is better than strength. Nevertheless, the poor man's wisdom is despised and his words are not heard. It's not about the things the world will look on and recognize as being mighty. It's not about whenever we become mighty men and women for the Lord, or we are in our lives for the Lord in a place that the Lord can use us. It's not about being able to get our name in a hall of fame, in headlines and recognition, because the things that are mightiest through the Lord are the things that are foolish to the world. Scripture says of the cross, the preaching of the cross is foolishness to them that perish. The way of the cross is foolishness, but oh, what a power is in it. But to us that are saved, it is the power of God. Humility to the world is a way of weakness and a way of foolishness, but through God, there's such power and such strength in it. May the Lord help us that we be diligent in exercising ourselves to the weapons that the Lord has given us. Let's look at the 10th chapter of Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 10. The fourth verse says, he becometh poor that dealeth with a slack hand, but the hand of the diligent maketh rich. He that gathereth in summer is a wise son, but he that sleepeth in harvest is a son that causeth shame. Timothy, study to show yourself approved. You've got so much before you. You've got battles that you're going to face. You have needs that you're going to need to pray through and to fight through. Timothy, give yourself diligently to this. Give yourself wholly to it, that your profiting can appear unto all. It's going to require a diligent effort on our part. Lord, teach my hands to war. Lord, teach me wisdom. Help me to be able to approach the circumstances of life that before I used to go into with my own ideas and my own wisdom and my own ability and brute force and make such a mess of things. Lord, teach me wisdom. Teach me what it means to wait on the Lord. You talk about something that sounds like weakness and foolishness. Be still and know that I am God. Be able to know the right time and the right season, and to be able to have a proper discerning of what I need to do. Lord, help me to know how to fight this battle. Because there are times that a stern word is needed. And there are times that a loving hug is all it takes. Lord, help me to know. Help me to be skillful. Help me to be mighty through God with these weapons that you've given me. It's not about going in, chopping and slicing and dicing at every hand. Lord, help me to have wisdom. Wisdom is profitable to direct. The alternative is like it says, an axe with a blunt edge. You're just chopping and it makes a mess and it's not clean and it doesn't accomplish what you want to accomplish. The Lord is calling for us to be able to join that cloud of witnesses. I believe that cloud of witnesses is still being added to. And He wants to add us to that number. We're living our lives as a tale that's told. How are we writing the story of our lives? If you read your story today, would you be inspired by it? If you read the story of the battles that you go into and how you handle it, would it inspire your faith Let us live our lives in a way that would be an inspiration to those that come behind us. It said that those mighty men, they had a name. They had a reputation. This isn't about earning men's applause and men's honor. But I want to be able to live my life in a way that brings glory to God. And I want to seek that honor that comes from Him only. But you know, whenever we live faithfully before the Lord, consistently, and we give ourselves, as Paul told, I believe it was Timothy there as well, give yourself, meditate in these things, give yourself wholly to it. Don't be slack. He said a slack hand, it's going to bring you to poverty. You know, that's applicable, and it's, oh, if only many more in our nation could get a hold of that. A slack hand will bring you to poverty, but diligence, being diligent, giving yourself wholly to it, whatever your hand finds to do, do it with your strength. If a man doesn't work, he ought not to eat. There's something of a diligence and about a giving yourself to it. The scripture teaches of practical applications of it. Be diligent to know the state of your flocks. Give yourself to know the state of your herds. If you're going to do something, don't do it half-heartedly. If you're going to do it, don't be sloppy about it. You know, it's important in life. It's important in life to be thorough. To not just go through life half-heartedly or haphazardly and give myself to this and I lose interest and I go over and I lose interest and I go through life that way. It's important to be diligent. But how much more so is it important to be diligent in our walk with the Lord? That I give myself diligently to this. Lord, I want to be a mighty man for you. I want to be able to have power with God. I want to be able to be one of those whenever I face unclean spirits, that they can say, Paul, I know, and Jesus, I know, and Clint, I know. I want to be able to have that power within. It's not of myself, nor of any of us, but these weapons that the Lord has given us are mighty through God. To the pulling down of stronghold, the casting down of imaginations, the principality of darkness and the power of darkness that we face, every one of us in our lives, to be able to be mighty against those things, to be able to be victorious, to be able to be one that is skillful in battle. Whenever the enemy comes against me, the Lord has been teaching me how to battle. It starts in the small things, me learning how to fight, learning how to wait, learning how to humble, learning how to use wisdom, learning how to wait to speak, learning how to listen for the Lord's voice. All these things David learned. He was a shepherd out on the hillside. He began to learn the Lord's voice, began to learn what it meant to trust in Him. May the Lord help us in our lives. Folks, this isn't about something that I've now arrived or you've now arrived. I'm now a mighty man. This is something throughout our lives. Lord, help me to grow. Lord, help me to develop my skills in fighting. Help me to develop my understanding and my ability in living for the Lord. My ability to be able to fight against the enemy through the Lord's help and His strength. And by that, the Lord will help every one of us to be mighty. Mighty men and women, those are stories that we read of in the past that inspire me, they encourage me. There's something I enjoy reading through of all the things they were able to accomplish. But you know, and the Lord's called me to a different time and to different battles. But there are people looking on me as well. There are people coming behind me as well. And I want to be able to leave a testimony that I trusted in God. And a testimony that I found power with God. A testimony and a life that's not just littered by failure and mess after mess, but by God's help to go from strength to strength, from battle to battle, from victory to victory by God's help. You pray for me. Amen.